Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Tandi Smith is head of program at Media Monitoring Africa, and we wanted to ask the question, if media censorship is in fact a thing of the past, how much does this really exist, media censoring, or is it something that we are can be very proud to say doesn't happen anymore? Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks very much for having me. I'm doing well. Thanks, and yourself?
I am well, thank you. So during apartheid era, it was, of course, a major concern, and people had to try and get away with communicating things in all sorts of ways. But thankfully, those days are behind us, or are they?
So, yes, absolutely. I think that the media environment that we find ourselves in today is vastly different to what was experienced during the apartheid era. And we, as a country, enjoy a very, I wouldn't say a very high, but quite a good amount of media freedom. Reporters Without Borders released their annual Press Freedom Index recently. And we are, South Africa sits at number 35 out of, if I'm not mistaken, 180 countries. And so, I think we're at the top of the list on the African continent. So that sense, in the traditional aspect of looking at censorship and media freedom, we do enjoy a level of media freedom, and censorship is not what it was before, by no means. But what we are seeing is something far more insidious and far more difficult to manage in the form of self-censorship. And that's usually as a result of harassment on digital and social media platforms. And it's often particularly targeted at female journalists. And so although we're not seeing the very traditional forms of censorship, or even the physical attacks on journalists that we do see elsewhere in the world, we do still grapple with the issue of media censorship from a slightly different viewpoint.
It's actually very interesting that you say that, because obviously it's being Women's Month during August, it's a good time to actually focus on this sort of thing. And I'm interested in what you say. We've certainly seen the abuse and attacks of women on women journalists on Twitter. We've seen overt and covert threats to them. Are you saying that women journalists are much more susceptible to intimidation? And of course, intimidation in journalism is purely about censorship. Let's be real.
Yes. And I think we can very safely say that women are more susceptible, and it often takes on a sexual nature. It often is directed at female bodies. And so there's definitely that abuse of power dynamic that plays out on social media. And what that then does is, most often the journalists or the female journalists that are attacked online would rather than be silenced or not put out their voice, or retract what they are saying. And that is a dangerous form of censorship. So, yeah, I think there is research, I can't remember the exact name of the report, but there is research being done. If you just have a look around, and you can see the data and the findings that research produces, is that women journalists in particular are more susceptible to online abuse and attacks, because it takes the form of gender-based violence. And so, yeah, female journalists are by no means safe from those attacks.
So would you agree then that although there's no official censorship, there is pressure on maybe media houses, specific journalists, columnists, to toe a line or to not step too far out of an acceptable narrative?
Well, I think it's often a case by case basis. What we have seen in the past with particular journalists, the likes of Paulie van Wyk, the late Karuma Brown, Ferial Haffagy. You know, these are some of the prominent journalists who get involved in very controversial political stories that you know, people want to silence. And so we see that on one side, on one aspect. So I think, yes, I think that there is public backlash, but I think it's from specific rhetoric, specific narratives, people pushing specific agendas would then follow through and carry out these attacks. Unfortunately, we also see this happening by specific political leaders in our country, people with influence, also, you know, using social media platforms to attack female journalists as well. We saw the case with the EFF a couple of years ago, where that exact scenario happened. We also see, just on, I want to just add on the flip side of that, we can't ignore, rather, the pressures that we get from business owners, from advertisers, and that sort of editorial shifting, that editorial influence of, I wouldn't call it censorship, but definitely, you know, reporting on one thing rather than the other.
I think
we need to remember that subjective approach.
So that was going to be my next question, is how do we deal with that? Because it's very hard to call somebody out, a publication out, on what they're not reporting on. But yet it, you know, and I've had this conversation with many media houses where I would say to them, why aren't you reporting on this? And specifically, and it's not a subject I want to particularly get into on, but it's just an example, is we often see in South African media, they don't report on if rockets are being fired on Israel, on civilians from, let's say, Gaza. But then the minute, when Israel retaliates, there's no context. And we suddenly see this image of Israel attacking Gaza. So people don't have a context because things haven't been reported. Now, as I said, I don't want to get into that as a particular subject, but what's interesting to me, it's something that I've noticed, that if you don't report on all sorts of other things, it's actually as problematic because you're not providing the full story when you do report on it.
Yeah, I mean, so for us at MMA, we really try and push for media to be as diverse as possible. And that's diverse in all range of aspects, from topics to what sources get used to where stories get covered. And you know, we use those indicators to look at sort of the quality level of media that we're seeing. When people, so let me rather say, what's important for consumers of media and for the public to remember is that there has to be a level of critical engagement with media. And especially in this day and age of the high levels of mis and disinformation, you need to almost, I want to say, do the work of checking multiple sources and not only relying on one media house to report. I think if we all take the approach of media, for whatever angle or whatever reason, is going to be subjective, and it's about being transparent about that subjectivity, and it's about holding media accountable to you know, being able to engage with that media. But by no means are you going to get one media house reporting on every angle for every aspect on every story.
Absolutely.
So I think if we take that into recognition and we just remember to diversify your news sources, you will more than likely get the big full picture if you look at three or four different sources looking at an issue rather than relying on one.
And that is, and as you say rightly so, that is our responsibility to do that. Tandi Smith, thank you. Head of a program at Media Monitoring Africa, talking to us about media censorship. Is it a thing of the past? It is 8:47. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.